cold outside, but it's warm in here. Good to be here with you all today. We began a series last week that we called Peace with Life, and we were just talking about that. How can we have peace with life? You know, we live in a world that is not particularly tranquil all the time. We have lives and circumstances that can vary regularly and sometimes instantly make us tense, make us anxious, make us worried. That's kind of the world that we live in, and so much of life is, you know, we look forward to those times when the pressures and the stresses of life just kind of fade away, and we long for a day when we can quit work, or when this problem stops, or something like that. And so having peace with life is something that all of us think about, I think, or long for at least, and we recognize the lack of it. And so we're talking about that here in this series. And last week we started it off with this, and I want to just recap just a very little bit what we kind of started with last week, because what we're talking about here when we talk about peace with life is different perhaps than we normally think. Different perhaps than we normally would expect. Okay, this is how I'm going to get peace in my life. So much about peace in life is we need to manage our circumstances. We need to eliminate stressors in our life. And there's some wisdom to that, but what we're talking about is something a little bit different. And last week we really focused in on this verse. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is what it says. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we spend some time talking about what is that? What in the world is that thing? You know, when we talk about having peace, not just the peace that I can generate, but maybe a peace that God generates. This is an interesting verse. It's an interesting statement. It talks about the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And last week, what we talked about that, we tried to define that, and it's a contentment and a rest that rises above our circumstances. I like words. Words have meaning, and different words, you know, when you see a word like transcends, we don't use that word a whole lot in, you know, normal conversation. Has anyone said transcend just this last week? Probably not. It's a word that we don't use a whole lot, but when you see it, it's like, okay, what in the world does that mean? And transcend means to rise above, to kind of get up over the top of and go over. And so what this is saying is there is a peace, a contentment, a rest that rises above our circumstances. In other words, what we said last week is this is that there's this peace from God which doesn't make sense in the sense of this, that our circumstances might not change. We may still, and we probably most certainly will still be in situations and circumstances that are normally would cause anxiety. We're going to be in stressful, tense situations. Life is not just suddenly going to ease out and get simple and easy and perfect. That's not what God says. No, there's a peace. There's this contentment. There's a rest, there's a security, there's a safety, there's an ability to be carefree. That's what that word really means. Don't be anxious, it said earlier. To be carefree, to kind of live in these circumstances that are hard, and yet my soul is okay. And that's really what it is. My soul is okay in the midst of circumstances that aren't okay. And it doesn't make sense when you look at it logically. That's what we're talking about here. And so when we talk about this peace, it's not I'm going to manage my circumstances to make them peaceful. No, there's a peace from God which even in the midst of turmoil and tumult and chaos and that kind of circumstance, I can still be at rest in my soul. I can be okay. That's what the peace is. The second thing we talked about is that has to come from God. Christ guards our hearts and our minds. And really, that's where stress and anxiety comes from. And it's also where peace will reside. It's in our heart, our emotions, our soul, and in our mind, our thoughts. And when we're not peaceful, our mind is churning and our emotions are stirring and there's angst. But Christ, it says, can guard that to keep that away so that my mind can be at rest and peace. My heart can be at rest and peace. And it's something that only God can do. So often as people, we think, okay, I need to create this. I need to make myself peaceful, and that's stressful. I'm not peaceful, I gotta be peaceful. That doesn't help a whole lot. But it's something that only God can do. Now, what we said, though, last week is that we have a responsibility. There are many, many things that God says, I'm gonna do this, and only I can do it, and I will do it after you do this thing that you can do. Some things God says, I'm just gonna do it regardless of what you do. There are a lot of things in the world that God says, I'm just going to do this, doesn't matter what you do at all. But there are many things that God says, I will do this when you do this. And I think this is one of those things. God says, I'll give you a peace, but we have a responsibility. It's kind of like if you want to get a tan. If you want to get a tan, I can't make my skin brown. You know, I can't just eat right or do something to make my skin brown. The sun hits my skin and stuff happens and it's outside of my ability to manage or control. So I can't create it, but if I want to get a tan, what do I got to do? I got to go out in the sun. If I sit in the basement, probably not going to get a tan. So I got to walk out into the sun. I need to put myself in a situation where something can happen. That's what this is like. God says, I can give you a peace that rises above your circumstances, but you have to put yourself in a situation that I will do that I can do that. And so we have a responsibility. There are things we need to do to get this peace. We can't create it, but we need to put ourselves in a place where God says, good, now that you're here, I'm going to do something miraculous. I'm going to give you a peace and a contentment in the midst of hard circumstances, okay? So that's what we talked about last week. That's what this series is all about. Getting that peace. Now today, kind of how we're going to go about this is to talk about, today we're going to talk about having peace with our past, the things that have happened in the past. Next week, Mark's going to talk about having peace with our present, the circumstances that we're living in right now. And then in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about peace with our future, looking ahead to that unknown, that uncertainty. How can I have peace with an unknown, uncertain future? But today we're going to talk about peace with our past, all right? Now, our past is a powerful, powerful thing. And your history, your experiences, your past, it impacts you in powerful ways. All of us, in many ways, are shaped by, and in many ways, are the product of the things that have happened to us in the past, for good and for bad. You know, there are things that have made us that were very blessed by and very glad about because of our past. There are things that are impacting us and are stirring us now from our past that we wish weren't true. Our past affects our present in a whole lot of ways. And again, for good and for bad. You know, we all can think back probably and remember the times when we were, you know, really loved or the fun. That, you know, the times in life when, and wow, that was just a great thing. And I look back on that with great fondness. The adventures that we've had, you know, that stir our soul. We can look back on them and think, wow, that's a really good memory. And oh, the lessons we've learned from the past where, you know, we had people who instructed us or we went through circumstances and we felt, God, just learned something very good and valuable there. All of us can look back on our past and remember those things. Kids tend to, well, all of us tend to look back, I think, and it's easy at times to remember those good times, and that's good, and that's right, and that's because those are real, and they shape us now. My mom and dad, you know, always told me, Rob, you can do anything you want to do. Now, maybe that's true and maybe it isn't. It's probably not true. I can't do anything I want to do. But my mom and dad told me I could, so I believed it. And that shaped me, and that's a good thing because it gave me confidence. I can try things. I can get out there and mix it up in the world. And so that's something from the past. And all of us have those things in our past which are good. We also have things in our past which were not good and that shaped us in ways that were painful or hurtful or confusing. And we know that that's true. We can look back in our past and we know that there is hurt there. We've been hurt. Things have been done. Things have happened around us that have wounded us. That's true of our past. There is loss in our past. People have died. You've had people close to you. Some of us have people very close to us that were taken away. There's loss in our past that creates a sorrow and almost creates a void in our life that still impacts us now. There's failures in our past, lost opportunities, things that we look back and say, I could have done this, I should have done this, and I failed in that circumstance, and I remember that, and that is impacting me now. Or somebody else failed in what they could have or should have done, and that is impacting me now. So every single one of us, for good and bad, our past shapes us powerfully, 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 in some ways that we don't even recognize. Because our past is kind of like every day there's another layer being laid down in the foundation of our lives. And it's hard for us sometimes even to recognize all of the different things that are shaping me now. And it's hard for you and me to look back and say, okay, here's everything that happened that's impacting me for good. Here's everything that happened that's impacting me for bad. We can't even see a lot of that. And even if we could, it's sometimes hard for us to understand how one thing affected us or not, because our past doesn't affect us uniformly, if that makes sense. In other words, there could be one event that has a much bigger impact on us now than whole months or years of other things. You're just kind of living life, going through life. Sure, it's having an impact on you. But then there's this one huge event, for good or for bad, that just suddenly, that just change the landscape. It's like an earthquake in our life, and things were shaken up, and mountains were thrown up or torn down, and that one event has so much bigger impact in our life than some of these other things. So our past is always tricky to talk about, because it has impacts on us that we can't recognize. A lot of our past, we can't even remember. You know, as a little kid, things were shaping me that I can't even remember. And the things that I can remember, sometimes I'm not quite sure how that impacts me. The point to all this is our past is, in many ways, a mystery, but it's an incredibly powerful shaper of our life now. And it impacts us in intense ways. And we need to have peace with that, because our past can bring us peace when we remember those good things, but our past can bring great stress and tension to our life now. And we can look back on our life, and we can look back on the things that have happened to us, and that can steal our peace. It can make it hard for us to live in that contentment now. So today what we're going to talk about mostly, now there's all kinds of things that can impact us from the past, but here's what we're going to talk about mostly today when we talk about having peace with our past. What we're going to talk about is two things. One is the regret or the guilt or the shame or the things that steal my past over what I've done. I have done things, you have done things in our past. We have made decisions, made choices, done things, thought things, interacted. You have things in your past that when you look back on them, that event or that relationship brings guilt or brings regret or brings shame. That's what we are going to talk about here today in a big way. What is that? How does that impact me? The second thing we're going to talk about that impacts us is what other people have done. Things that other people in the past have done that have impacted me. Things that they've done, their failures and the hurt and the wounds from what others have done to me, okay? Not that there aren't other things that impact us from our past, but that's what we're going to talk about mostly, because I think those things probably have the biggest impact on our lives. When we look back and say the regrets from what I've done and the hurts and wounds from what other people have done, okay? That's what we're going to talk about here today. Now, I want to, as we jump into that, I want to just say a couple of things and maybe ask for not a favor, but some participation, because when we look back on our past, you know, we're going to ask the question, how can I have peace, this peace that I can't create, because we can't change our past. You know, I can't go back and change what people have done. I can't go back and redo the things that I regret. They're set. They're not going anywhere. So how can I have peace with that? Do I just pretend they didn't happen? Well, no, we can't do that because they impact us now. And so, you know, we're going to ask the question, what's my role that puts me in a position for God to do something miraculous? Because remember, that's what we said this was all about. This peace that we're talking about is something only God can do. We put ourselves in a place where God can do a miracle. That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about today, what can I do now to put myself in a position where God can give me peace that maybe doesn't make sense given what's happened to me in the past? Or is going to transcend what has happened to me in the past. But as we do that, I want to acknowledge something, that some of the things that I'm going to say here may seem like, well, that sounds fine, but I don't know if it's true. It almost seems impossible. You don't know what has happened to me in the past. You don't know how long I have wrestled with that decision or what that person did. My past has shaped me so intensely and so powerfully that I can't, it's just almost this overcomable thing. And I understand your past, I don't know what your past is. None of us can know exactly what someone else's life is. And I'm not going to, you know, pretend that I completely understand your past. Clearly I don't. I have a hard time even wrestling with my own past. But it can feel, perhaps, like some of the things I'm going to share, it's like, man, that sounds fine in theory, but I just don't think that's going to work. I would ask you to give, these are the things, what we're going to look at are the things that God says, and remember, what we're talking about here is something that only God can do. And while it's true, if you look at your past and say there is no way I can have peace with that, that's probably true. But what we're saying here is God can do something that you can't do. God can. God can do something that you can't do. You know, we read in the Bible where God, there's a man that's blind. His eyes don't work and God gives him sight. We can't make that happen. Medicine is not advanced to the point where we can just take a man who's blind and give him sight. God did it. That doesn't make any sense. Well, God can give you peace when we can't. And so even though I'm going to acknowledge that the things I'm going to say here might seem like, well, gosh, I wish that was true, but I'm not sure that it is. I think God can do things that we just need to give him credit for. Here's the second thing. It's real easy for me to stand up here and say, you know, you do this and God will do this. I get that. It's easy for me to say that. But many of you have stories about how these things have happened with you. Many of you, I have stories, you have stories, many of us have stories about, yeah, you know what, that's true. God did this for me. Those stories are powerful. Your stories of how God has spoken to you, how God has given you peace, those are powerful, powerful things, and it is so wonderful for you and I to share those stories with each other. So here's what I'm going to ask. As I go through this today, and as the days go on, if you feel like, yeah, you know, God, you've really done that for me. I had this thing in the past, but yes, you said this, and I obeyed that, and then this is how you've given me peace. I would love to hear those stories. And if you are willing and able, it would be so good to share those stories with each other. So here's what I'm going to ask. As I go through this today, and as you kind of chew on this in the days and weeks to come, if you feel God pointing out something in your life, well, yeah, you know, that's true. That really did happen with me. If you would be willing just to track me down and tell me that story, it would Your story is sweet and beautiful and powerful, and I would love to hear it. And then I would love to talk with you about if and how we could share that story with the rest of the church. Because your sweet, beautiful, powerful story is going to carry way more weight than just some guy standing up front talking about this stuff. Okay? So, as we go into this, that was perhaps the longest introduction in the history of man. And we're out of time, sorry. No, we have enough time to go through this, but here's what I'd like to do. I would like to just pray. All of us pray and ask for two things. Number one, God, just help me, God, to hear you speak to me. Because every one of us has a past. Every one of us has a history. And every one of our histories impacts us for good or for bad. God sees it. He knows it. He understands it clearly and perfectly. And God wants to help you to have peace with that past. So ask God, Lord, you speak to me, my heart. God can do that. And the second thing is, Lord, if I have a story that honors you, would you have me share that? Help me to see it, because it's good for us even to see. My goodness, God, you kept your word or you did that. It's good for us to know that about ourselves, but then it's helpful to share that. And if you would be willing to talk to me, and we could maybe talk about how we could get that out, okay? So I'm going to pray, and we're going to look at three things that we do to position ourselves for God to give us that miraculous peace. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you can do that. You know me. You know every one of us here. You know our hearts. You see our past. It's an open book. You say that every thought we've ever thought, every word we've ever spoken, every second of our life, you've seen it. You don't forget. It's clear to you. And you know the impact of each one of those things. You've seen how things have added up in our lives. You understand how that event shapes me now. You understand all of it. You see it clearly, Lord, way more clearly than any of us. And Lord, you see it, and you speak to us, and you teach us. We are your sons and daughters, the sheep of your pasture. We're the apple of your eye. And you are a good father. And your heart goes out to us, and you long for us to have that peace. And you want to give it to us, Lord. What that looks like for each one of us, you know. But we just want to hear your word today, Lord. And then, Lord, as we see you work, we want to honor you. We want to honor you in our own hearts, and we want to honor you as a family. So just, Lord, if there are stories that we could share, bring them to mind so that we can honor you together as a family. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do, guys. Three things that I think we do to position ourselves to allow God to give us peace with our past. Here's the first one. We have to choose to forgive and be forgiven. One of the hardest things with our past is forgiving those who have hurt us and being forgiven for what we have done. But it is, I think, crucial if we want to have peace with our past, because if we don't, well, let me hear, just read a verse. This is in Colossians 3. I'm going to read a few verses here. Colossians 3, starting with verse 13, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Now, there's a lot in there, but I think what he's saying is he talks about having love for each other, and one of the big things in that is forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And what he says then is let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And I really believe that one of the things that's true is as we choose to forgive the people who have wronged us, as we choose to forgive the people who have hurt us, it gives us peace. And the opposite is true. To the degree that we're not able to or not willing to forgive someone, that causes stress and anxiety in our lives. It just really does. I know my family, my upbringing was not horrible in a lot of ways, but it was far, far, far from great. And my dad impacted me and my three sisters in powerful, powerful ways. And my dad was, not going to throw my dad under the bus. My dad made a lot of mistakes. My dad had a lot of failure as a father. And that is just real. So I had to live with that as a boy and as a man. And my sisters had to live with that as girls and as women. And that nothing, maybe, perhaps, shapes us more than our relationship with our father and our mother. And so that is very real. My dad failed me in many ways. Not in a lot of ways. My dad was not terrible, but there was a lot of failure. I had to make a decision. And I remember very clearly deciding one day, my dad is what he is, and I wish that I could go back and change the past, but I can't. So, as an adult, now I have to decide something. Am I going to hold that against my dad or not? And this is hard, and I understand that this is difficult. I'm not saying that forgiving someone is just a simple thing, but I remember coming to a point where I made a conscious choice. I'm going to choose to love my dad now, even though he failed me terribly in many ways. As a boy. Now, right now, I'm going to choose to love him. And it changed, not my dad, changed me. Didn't change my dad, didn't change the past, it changed me. I was able to forgive my dad and choose to love him, and my life turned out differently. Because there's a peace then. Choosing not to forgive is it twists us in some ways. I understand. It's not as simple as just saying, I forgive. Those hurts run deep. Those wounds run deep. I understand that. But there is the reality that choosing to forgive others will bring peace, and not being able to forgive others will keep peace from us, I believe. And I've seen that in other people. I've had other relationships where that hasn't happened, where that forgiveness, one way or the other, didn't happen. And those relationships were always a source of tension and anxiety and hurt forever. Learning to forgive those who have wounded us is, I think, a crucial part in allowing this peace to happen. It doesn't change what that person did to me, but it changes me now. But the second thing is just as true. I need to be willing to be forgiven, which means that I have to have the humility to acknowledge my own sins and to repent of my own sins. Here in Proverbs 28, it says, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." I have failed people. And me acknowledging, "I have failed you, and I'm sorry. I cannot go back. I wish I could go back. There's so many things in my life I wish I could go back and change. I wish I would have done that differently. I can't do that. Here's what I can do. I can go to that person and say, I feel that I have failed you, and I'm sorry. I'm sad. I wish I would have done that differently. If there's anything I can do to make up for it now, I can't change it, but I want you to know that I need your forgiveness, and I'm willing to accept it from you." We have to choose to be forgiven as well. And when we accept that, there is such a release, isn't there? Remember when your kids, remember when you were a kid, probably all of us have been in this situation where either we were a kid or as parents, you know, we catch our kids in a lie, and it's an obvious lie. Kids are not good liars, generally, you know. Have you been eating candy and there's candy all over their face? No, not at all. So we catch him in this obvious lie. And what do we want to do? Tell me the truth, sweetheart. Tell me the truth. And they fight and they fight and they fight and they fight. And finally they say, yes, I did it. And you can just see in that little kid, it's just, oh, it's gone. I'm not trying to hide this thing anymore. I'm not trying to pretend I'm something I'm not. I'm just open and here I am. And what we find is mercy. That's what that verse says. When we, I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We don't find condemnation. We find mercy. And there's peace in that because relationship is restored. Forgiveness, if we're going to talk about our past, forgiveness is a crucial part of being at peace with it. But we cannot do this, folks. We cannot forgive and be forgiven apart from this. We have to start with, I need to live in and experience forgiveness from God. If I'm going to forgive you and if I'm going to be forgiven by you, I need to be living in forgiveness from God. In Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been justified by faith. What that says is, you know what? I am a sinner. I have betrayed my Maker. I have spat in the face of the one who loves me. I've turned my back on and provoked him to his very face. I have sinned terribly in ugly, horrible ways against God. And I've been forgiven. Christ died to pay for those sins. And if I accept it, I am forgiven. And because I'm forgiven, I have peace with God. I have a relationship with God that I'm comfortable in. And that gives me the ability to forgive you and to be forgiven by you. See, no matter what you have done to me, we need to understand this. And experiencing the forgiveness of God, the longer you go in life and the more you experience it, the more this will become true to you. No matter what someone has done to you, it is not as bad as what you have done to God. Now, I don't say that lightly, because I know some of us have had horrible things happen to us. So I'm not trying to discount that. I'm really, truly not. But the reality is that I betrayed my Maker. I violated the one who loves me more than anyone else. And I didn't just do it once. I did it again and again and again. I didn't just do it by mistake. I looked him in the face and turned my back and spat on him as I walked away. Your sin, my sin, is ugly before God. And it's been forgiven. And as I am washed by that forgiveness, it puts me in a position where I can forgive you for what you've done to me. I've been forgiven for far worse. I can forgive you. It also puts me in a position where I'm confident to say, you know what? I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to pretend I'm something I'm not. My God knows exactly who I am, and he's forgiven me. So I can be open with you. I have sinned against you, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You want to forgive and be forgiven. You need to do that in order to put ourselves in a position where we can have peace. But it starts with this. We need to accept and live in our forgiveness from God. So that's the first thing. Choose to forgive and be forgiven. Here's the second thing that we need to do, I think, to put ourselves in a position for God to give us miraculous peace with our past. It's this. First is choose to forgive and be forgiven. Second is channel your thoughts. Channel your thoughts. In Philippians 4, we've been reading in Philippians 4 here, and the verses right after what we talked about, this peace which transcends all understanding. This is what Paul says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There we see it again, this peace. But there we see what? Okay, my role here, this God's going to bring peace, but what I do is I try to channel my thoughts. I look at what, and this is what I think that it means. Sometimes I think that we can think, okay, I need to control my thoughts. So what that means is I just got to forget that thing ever happened. No. That thing happened. Remember, God said that this peace comes in the midst of our hard circumstances. So knowing that something bad happened in my past, I'm not going to forget it. That's not where peace comes from. But this is where I think it makes a difference. What is your mind dwelling on? What is it that your mind goes to? And you and I can control that to a degree. It's difficult. I understand it's difficult to channel our thoughts. But we can do that, because he tells us here's a whole list of things, think about those things. And by definition, I think, it also means, well, I'm not going to think about some other things. Now, it's not that I forget that they happened, but it's where does my mind dwell? For example, I struggle with this a lot. What happens with me is when I'm thinking about the past, and when I'm thinking about what someone has done or a conflict I have with a person in the past, here's what I do. I think about it now, and I create confrontations in my head. where I'm proving myself right, and I'm hearing, making up their responses, and it's how silly is that? Yet that's what I do. I create these confrontations in my head, and I just know I'll do that. I'll be on a walk, and I'll be praying, and after some amount of time, I'll think, my gosh, for the last however long, I've been making up a fight in my head, and my soul is all stirred up. And it's like, oh, that was particularly unhelpful, Lord. So I can channel my thoughts. I can think differently. And I don't know what it is for you. All of us, our mind tends to go somewhere. Our thoughts are kind of like water. I did a whole message on this once at Faith Walkers where our thoughts are like water. And over time, water will carve a channel even in hard rock. If water runs over rock long enough, it'll carve a channel. And then what happens is water will always go down that channel. It'll find that channel. There are times when we need to create a new channel. I need to not let my thoughts go down there anymore. I'm going to force them to go over here. And it's hard for a long time to keep forcing your thoughts to go this way. But you know what happens? If you do it long enough, you cut a new channel over here, and this one fills in. There is something very real about learning to channel your thoughts. And for me, one of the things I do is I will just check my thoughts against this list, or perhaps against the list in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. Love is patient, kind, long-suffering, keeps no record of wrongs. Sometimes I'll just take my thoughts, okay, Lord, I'm thinking about this thing. Let me run through this list and see if it matches up with this. Is it true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? Is it keeping a record of wrongs? It just helps me. It's just something specific I can do to look at my thoughts and say, okay, this thought is a good one. I'm going to hang on to that one. This one, not so good. I'm not going to dwell on it, okay? Learning to channel our thoughts is important. But now the third thing is we can't do this. I don't believe. We can't control our thoughts. This is incredibly powerful because what you think about will be what you do over time. And so we need to learn to channel our thoughts, but we cannot do this, particularly when we're talking about the hurts and wounds or the regrets of our past. We cannot channel our thoughts unless we do this third thing. So the first one, choose to forgive and be forgiven. The second one, channel your thoughts, but you cannot, I don't think, channel your thoughts unless you're able to do this, which is this: discharge your emotions. You have to be able to discharge your emotions, because our emotions, our soul, our heart is stirred by our past, for good or for bad. We need to learn to discharge our emotions. Let me read to you here. This is in Psalm 38. I'm going to read verses 5 through 12. It says, "My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot deception." What is David doing there? He's just pouring out all of the angst in his heart and soul. He's pouring it out. He's venting it. His own failures. "My sin is just ruining me, God. Other people's failures. My friends avoid me. My enemies are trying to kill me. And my soul is in anguish. I'm mourning." He's just pouring it out, venting. He's not trying to understand it or shape it somehow. He's just opening up and it's pouring out. And emotions are like pressure inside of you. It's like a pressure cooker. If you have ever used a pressure cooker, what happens? It builds up pressure inside. And if you get too much pressure, if you keep the lid on too long, that pressure is going to come out. The problem is, if you don't vent it well, it blows up. It shoots out the side. And things get worse. You have to be able to discharge your emotions, not to each other. Now, don't get me wrong. There is beauty in learning how to share our emotions with each other. But you have to start with God, because only God can take the pressure of your emotions. Doesn't hurt him. Doesn't harm him. Doesn't shock him. You can just blast it to God, and he can capture it and shape it and dissipate it if that's what it needs or direct it to where it needs to go. If we don't learn to discharge our emotions to the Lord, I think we will always, always, always struggle with having peace in anything, but certainly peace with our past, because our past is constantly creating emotional pressure in our present that has to be released. I can try to hold it in and it'll blow up. I can try to pour it somewhere and see if you can carry it, but you can't carry the burden of my emotions. Only God can. And so we open up the vent and we do what David did here. Everything sucks. You read the Psalms. I've been spending time in the Psalms for the past year. It is amazing how many of them are just pouring out emotional waste product. Just venting emotional waste product. I'm going to guess that a lot of times David wrote this stuff and afterward he went, okay, I feel better. Because he needed to do it. You and I need to do it as well. Discharge your emotions to the Lord. By doing that, if you don't, those emotions are going to twist your mind. You can't think clearly if your emotions are building up. It twists your heart. You can't feel right. And so really, this kind of goes backwards. I think most of the time we have to start with, I'm going to go to God and look at the wounds from my past and the regrets from my past, and I'm going to blow that toward the Lord and let him hear it. What that's going to do is it's going to release the pressure so I can begin to think about this differently. As I begin to think about it differently, I'm going to recognize, you know what, God, I have been forgiven. I can forgive and be forgiven. And all of that does what, guys? It puts us in a situation where God does not change your past, but he gives you peace with it when you couldn't have it before. Does that make sense? This is an amazing thing that your Father offers you. Peace with an unchangeable past. Peace with a tragic past. Peace with a past filled with regrets and failure and pain. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying it's just simple. But I'm saying that it's real. Because God can give you a peace that transcends your past, that transcends understanding, that doesn't make sense. I believe God can do it. And our past then can become a builder of our life now, not a destroyer of our life now. If we let God do this, I think our past can become a builder of our life now, as opposed to a destroyer. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are powerful enough to do these things. God, our past is not a mystery to you at all. And our life is important to you. And so, Lord, you can give us peace with our past in ways that we just don't make sense. And we just ask you to do that. We need you to do that, Lord. Help us as your children to come to you and to put ourselves in a place just sitting in your lap doing these things so that you can give us a peace that passes all understanding, Lord. Help us in that in Jesus' name. Amen.